work in us will constantly and continually perform it till the day of Jesus Christ. He'll never give up on us. His faithfulness is pure, certain, eternal, and forever. And it doesn't matter how many faux pas we make and how many times we let God down. He turns there and he turns and just says to us, I'm here when you're ready. And takes us, sweeps us up in his arms. Oh boy, all my life, I've known his faithfulness, regardless of whether mine's been there or not. It's awesome. Praise God. Kids, you're ready to go, and the rest of us take our seats and fasten your seat belts. I had absolutely no idea the kids were getting up, doing what they were doing, and what Kerry was going to say. And she's stolen a lot of my thunder. But what a confirmation that the Holy Spirit has put in this place. What an awesome intensity of what God's wanting to say and wanting to put out there for us to get a hold of. It's not just, you know, I'm here and here I am. I get there and I just, wow. I was in tears when those kids were reading Psalm 91. Woo! That is one of my favorite, if not my favorite scripture. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And it goes on and talks about he's our strength, our refuge, our salvation. He's our God. We can trust in him. And regardless of what happens around us, it won't come near us. He'll protect us. He's our protector. He's our preserver. He's our strength. He's our shield. Man, and everything that's in that psalm is so intense. Honestly, you need to learn it like those kids have and take a hold of every attribute of God that psalm projects. It's totally amazing how David and the psalms so much cover the goodness of God, the faithfulness of God, the attributes of God, who he is and what he does and how he extends himself to us. And it's just so intense, and God wants us to know that of himself. He wants to reveal himself to us so intimately and so personally that we can never, ever, ever doubt or question the goodness and the grace and the wonder and the mercy and the healing power and the mightiness of God. I just want to talk a little bit about following on from last week and what the Holy Spirit wants to do in our lives, and I'm wrecking things here, but that's okay. You know, we've covered a few things over the last little while. Stewardship of what we have, stewardship of our faith, stewardship of everything God has given us. We're stewards of our salvation. We're to guard, keep, and protect that in our lives. It's so precious because it's God himself, Yahshua, Jehovah, my salvation. So Joshua was, God is our salvation. That was his name. And he was the leader God selected to take the children of Israel through the last part of the wilderness, across the Jordan River, which typified dying to self and into the promised land. So when you look at the whole picture of Israel, they came out of Egypt, which was a type of the world. They came into the wilderness and went through a journey through life that took them through experiences and through temptations and through problems and issues. And how many things like in our life resemble or are akin to that. But then they come to the point just saying, we're going into where God wants us to be. And it took a dying to self. It took a dying to the wilderness. It took a dying to the world. You know, it's just an amazing, we're supposed to do that at baptism, but they got into the wilderness and they were, oh, I wish we were still in Egypt. We had plenty of food, we had beds to sleep in, we had this, and they mumbled and grumbled and complained. And God, in his sovereignty, looked after them still. He protected them in the desert from the elements. Like, you know, that desert is below freezing most nights. And yet he had a pillar of fire by night that protected them from that cold and kept them in a place of safety and warmth. And then during the day, it's a scorcher. You would frizzle up and die in most times in that desert during the day. It was a cloud by day. He led them and he protected them. God was their refuge and their strength. He was their very present help regardless of the trouble. Just amazing that those verses and those things are there. But I want to discuss what it is to live by faith. Living by faith. A lot of people have this very wrong, and we can get the first slide up there, Anthony. You talk to a lot of people and you say, well, you know, do you believe in Jesus? And they'll tell you that they have a faith. Oh, yeah, well, I'm of this faith. And they'll name a church, breed or creed or whatever. I'm part of such and such a faith. And I'm going, yeah, but have you got a relationship with Jesus? Or they'll say, oh, I go to church on Sunday. Yeah, so what? Do you know Jesus? And they look at you like you're from a foreign planet. You got to understand, some people have no idea what it is to walk by faith. And I'm finding that amongst a lot of, quote, professing Christians of our caliber, that you talk to them about walking by faith and living by faith, and they think it's simply to do with the fact, oh yeah, I'm saved, I'm born again, my faith's in God. And I'm like, well, that's fine and that's good. That's your starting ground. You know, the pistol's gone off. Are you running the race? Are you living by faith? Are you putting faith into practice in your everyday life? Or is it just a simple event of somewhere in your past that you gave your life to God, you surrendered to Jesus, and now you believe in Jesus and you've got faith in him? He's going to save you and deliver you, and you've got faith in going to be with him one day. And that's really a sad scenario, and it's a sad place to be in, because it is such a waste compared to what God has intended for us to walk in. Last week I talked about how God had predestined and determined us to be like his son Jesus, to be the firstborn, who was the firstborn of many, many brethren. And unfortunately, people have said to me sometimes, yeah, but I know what they teach in my church, and I've got faith in that being the truth. So they tell us what the Bible says, and if they say it's true, then it must be true. So I believe that, and that's where my faith is. And I'm like, ooh, you know, there's some shaky ground out there. Some real shaky ground. Have you researched it for yourself? No, I don't need to. That's what the priests are for. Well, I'm telling you, I'm here to stir up your investigative interest in the Word of God. I'm here to stir up your relationship with God. I'm here to stir you up to go for it for yourself. And just because I said it, if you haven't gone and checked it out to make sure I'm not telling you porcupines, you're letting yourself down. Now, I'm not doing that, of course. I'm very thorough in what I give, and I'm so diligent ensuring that the Word of God is all I speak and all I preach, and I put various illustrations into it to help you understand it. But man alive, I would love for you to just be doing what you need to be doing and searching it out for yourself. I came down here on Friday. The girls were, you know, getting together, and I turned up just as they were having a coffee, and I wasn't aware of the fact that this was their share of scripture time and sharing what God's doing and what's going on in their lifetime. I was just gobsmacked. I was hearing the practical aspects and outworking of so much that's been going on in here. I'm going, God, you're so faithful. What you're doing in the lives of these girls and these ladies, just absolutely, you don't see it on the surface, and just getting together on Sunday doesn't give you enough insight into what their personal lives are developing in God. And oh my goodness, whew, I wish I could have videoed that and put it on the internet, because that was gold in God, hearing what God was saying and doing and revealing of himself into those women's lives. It's just precious. That's walking by faith. That's a walk of faith, if ever I've heard one. It's absolutely. So this is real Bible faith. Some of the stuff we've sung there and gone through and what Kerry brought out, wow, It's such an amazing reality of who God is, and Bible faith has to be based on who God is. And God provides for us to live by faith. God provides for us in every facet and aspect of every requirement He's got and everything we need. He leaves nothing to chance. He leaves nothing. He leaves no stone unturned in our lives if we're prepared to do the diligence and be diligent, as the Scriptures encourage us to, in seeking the Lord and seeking His face continually. I've said this before, I'll say it again. A lot of Christians, all they seek is God's hands. Oh, Lord, we've got a program this week. Lord, You bless it. Lord, You bless that. Lord, you bless our outreach. Lord, You bless this. You bless. They're just seeking His hands. They want God just to be their little dude, you know, make sure it's all working well. They haven't even asked God whether to start the program. They've just arranged it and had a meeting. Oh, this will be a good idea. And they go and do things. Oh, God, we're going to do this for Your glory. Bless it in Jesus' name. And God's going, I'm not even sure I want that going on, you know. Or sometimes He'll go, you know, well, that's an inspiration in my spirit. Someone's been listening, and that's great. But we really do need to ensure that our life goes beyond the God protect me, God bless me, God heal me, God prosper me, God cover me, God defend me, whatever have you. That is fine. God's hands will be at work, but the first thing we have to do is seek His face. That's where you get to know Him. That's the reality of who God is. That's the reality of coming to know Him for who He is. Now, okay, we can't see Him face to face, literally. But the Bible says we all with open face beholding, or to see reflected, or see as in a glass reflection the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image. And I'm telling you, start looking at the Word of God, you'll see the reflection of God in every page. You will see the face of God, and His hands have actually worked through people who have sought His face. And it's just like Moses when the children of Israel got into all sorts of strife and they said, Moses, go and ask your God to help us. They weren't seeking His face. All they wanted was the blessing and the hand of God. Whereas Moses got into the presence of God, and he was so intense at one stage up on Sinai that he came back glowing like a light. You know, they couldn't even look at him. He was lit up like a light. They had to put a veil over his face because it was so blinding, because he just spent time in the presence of God. And God said, I can't show you myself straight on. I'll kill you. But I'll protect you as I pass by, and you will see my hind parts as I go by. And that was enough to turn Moses into a glitter, like a greater than any lighthouse you've ever seen. It's just amazing how much God's reflection can be seen in us the more we spend time with Him. The more we just say, God, I'm just going to spend time with You. Just want to tell You how much I love You. Just want Your life to be enhanced in mine. God, whatever it is that I need in my life, I release You and Your power of Your Holy Spirit to be whoever You need to be in me. And I love You for it. I thank You for Your faithfulness. I thank You for Your protection. You know, we don't even have to go on. Lord, please protect me. You seek His face, the benefits come. The benefits come with it. And we can just thank Him for it, and you'll see it. You'll get to a stage like me where you say, all my life You have been faithful. And I look back over my life, and I see things that could have cost me my life. I see things that were disastrous for me in so many ways. I see things that could have bankrupted me, that I was going to make decisions in, and God shut doors and protected me, and His faithfulness, His grace, His goodness, and His mercy are absolutely on every page of my life. There's no question about it. And that song first came out, I couldn't even sing it. I was just that one big lump in my throat. It was just so intense. Then I looked back and saw how God's faithfulness was enduring, everlasting, and never failed. And I'd love for you to have that same experience in God, because that's walking by faith and seeing, allowing God to be who he wants to be. It tells us in the Bible, for it is given unto every man or every woman or every person the measure of faith. Now, the measure of faith is not the faith that makes you a spiritual giant. The measure of faith is enough for you to find God. No one will have an excuse why I couldn't find God. Anyone who says, well, I never had an opportunity, God's going to turn around and just open up a memory bank of theirs and what about that one? What about this one? What about when someone tried to talk to you about Jesus and you just laughed and scoffed and walked? You had every opportunity. No one will ever be without excuse that they couldn't find God. And some have gone to all sorts of wicked ends and terrible ends in their lives, and but there'll be a point somewhere. I was looking at a documentary on Elon Musk this week. He grew up in a Christian church, Anglican as much as it was. He went to Sunday school. He learnt so much of the Christian stories. And he says, I still admire those people who God used and what happened. And I believe they were literal events. This was his thing. But he couldn't see the purpose in church life as a grown-up. And he drifted away, went out, and he was a bit of a loner. He reminded me of a lot of my oldest grandson, Ben, in New Zealand. He read every book he could get his hand on. Ben has, there's not even a book in the school library Ben hasn't read. I was lucky if I picked one or two and read them, and teachers say, we've got to read this for our next English assignment. And I'd get the book and go, this is boring, and skim through it quickly, get a few points out of it, and I'd pass the exam. Don't ask me how. But it was just crazy. But he was diligent in his study, diligent in his research, diligent in everything. And then just recently, he was in Las Vegas awaiting a meeting. He went a few days prior to the meeting. He said, I just wanted to clear my head and sit in the room and just digest what was going on. Going through so many serious things in the business world and in my life and things that are happening. He said, I just needed to be alone for a few days prior to this important meeting. And he got up and he'd seen a little church just down the road. He thought, decided I'd wander down there. He church had started. He said, I wandered down, I walked in and sat in the back row. And he said, the minister just said, we're going to ask so-and-so, a young 25-year-old guy, to come up and tell us what God has just done for him in his life. And this guy got up and gave a really intense testimony of how God had directed him through a situation, guided him after he prayed and said, God, I need your help. I can't handle this. God gave him wisdom to make certain decisions. God gave this young guy so much. And Elon said, I sat there and related to every aspect of what God had helped this young guy through. And he said, I realized then that God was far more than just a storybook and Bible stories. He's still real. Now, he has not. Don't get all the stuff going on out there that's saying, oh, is Elon a Christian? He's been challenged by so many Christians lately that have given him the gospel. Like, do you believe the world was created by God? Well, I believe something out there must have had something to do with it, sort of thing. But anyway, on this one, he said, I went back to my motel room with a peace and a joy that I hadn't felt so long. There's definitely a reality out there in the spirit world that I encountered that day. But not once did he say, I have made Jesus Christ my Lord and Savior. And so, you know, put your comments on the YouTube, and I put it in. I said, well, my Bible tells me that if you will confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. I said, I'm praying for this man that he will one day make that profession and confession that his life will be surrendered to the Lord Jesus, and put the gospel in a nutshell on the comments. And I love sort of doing that, because then you see comments after comments after comments roll through, and I haven't looked at it yet, so be interesting. Let's see what goes on. But I take those opportunities to challenge people and to put them there, because it's so important that people do know, because sometimes they've just got philosophies and theories and concepts and they don't really know what the true answer is. Well, if you and I do, hit them with it. Hit them with it. Take every opportunity. Don't let one pass you by. You get an open door once, and that's an opportunity for you to share your faith and to challenge people with it. And usually opportunities don't come back. They become what we call missed opportunities. And missed is usually the operative word in those cases. Jump on them with every... Just kick the door down if you have to. But do something to put a word in for the kingdom of God. So the capacity is to acknowledge and believe in the unseen. That's the measure of faith. That's the measure of faith that every man has been given. That there is something out there, that there is something more than this world and this life. The first step in Christianity, of course, is to believe in Jesus. We hear the story of Christ. And then by faith in that presentation of Jesus, who he is, what he did, we give our lives to him. And that's the beginning part of giving to every man the measure of faith. But from there, our growth in God and in his word increases that faith. Faith is a verb. It's like a muscle. The more you use it, the stronger it will get. And if you say, well, I have a faith, and you just live all your life in a faith that's, quote, a faith in something, that's a muscle that's gone to waste. You'll be just, you know, a limp-armed, faithless person in the sense of being able to operate in that sense. We need to have a faith that is functional, strong, and operational. And that's what God gives us. So having the appointed to man the measure of faith is so much more. And so we've got to build a foundation in our lives. It has to be there. It has to be strong. It has to be built on. And it has to be strong and strengthened to the point that the building that we're building on it is unshakable. So it's gives us then the capacity to live by faith, because we're understanding what we've built into our lives that gives us a foundation in God to live on. Okay? So we just don't have a shaky sort of concept of what faith is. I remember a preacher saying once, they went into one of those takeaway, Burger King or one of those, I can't remember what it was, they were in America, and the girl that was serving them and came out was really pleasant, and she says, have you had a great day? And they'd just come from a church meeting. They said, we've had an awesome day, we've been in church, do you go to church? Now she asked how their day was. They had just come from a meeting. See, we have been in church and had an absolute blast. God's been good. Do you go to church? And she goes, oh, yeah, I'm a quite of a pretty thing. She says, I go every now and then. He goes, well, hearty ha ha. And, you know, he's really sort of put it on him. I didn't ask if you just went to church, but there's a relationship that you had in church with Jesus. Do you know Jesus? That's right. He said, oh, do you know Jesus? That's right. He didn't say, do you go to church? He said, do you know Jesus? She answered, oh, well, I go to church. And he goes, well, you know, woolly for you. Hardy, ha, ha. Do you know Jesus was the answer, the question I asked. And he was then able to explain to her the difference in just going to church and just feeling right about yourself and having a relationship with the Lord Jesus. So what we've got to look at is where that takes us. So being a faith, it's got to be active, it's got to be vibrant, it's got to be growing, and it's got to be operative. And sometimes because we sort of think God's too busy for us, and there's a lot of people that have, you know, have you prayed about that? Oh, it's too insignificant. I don't want to bother God with my few little problems. What? You know, the Bible says casting all your care on Him. Have you gone to God about that? Have you prayed about that? Have you put it over and allowed Him to carry the load of that? Casting your care is like a fisherman with everything he's got. He gets that thing, he gets it as far as he can. I tell you, if something's bothering me, I don't want to carry the load. I don't want it bothering me. I don't want it filling up my life with burdens and cares. I just say, God, I can't handle this. Can I hand it over to you? And the casting word there is go for it. Get rid of it. Put it as far as, some of us know what fishing is. I'm telling you, you cast it out as far as you can get it. And that's what the Bible tells us to do with our cares so that we don't have to carry them. The Lord Jesus said, give me your burdens. Come to me, all who labor and heavy laden. I'll take your labor and your heavy ladenness and I'll give you rest. Fair exchange or what? I think it is. I think it's amazing. He can carry it and he knows how to handle it and he knows where to put it and he knows how to deal with it, and he gives me wisdom and understanding and the peace of God that passes all my understanding, which gets in the way, but it surpasses that, will keep my heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Puts me in a place of rest. There remains a rest for the people of God, the Bible tells us. And I could take you into a whole rundown. I've done it in the church here several times back. I don't think any of you were here. But I did a study in Genesis of the sixth and seventh days of creation and how the parallel in those days are absolutely just line on line with our salvation. Right from the day where God says, let there be light. It was actually O-R-E, where we get our English word order. Our lives are a mess. They're in chaos. They're out of order. And the first thing that happens is let there be order, when the Spirit of God moves on our lives and brings us to God. And we go right through on day seven. And on the seventh day, God rested. And it tells us that he that has entered into his rest has ceased from his own works, just as God did from his. That's the scripture. So if God wants to get to a point of rest through what he does, he's expecting us to rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Our rest has got to be in God. So if you're finding yourself in turmoil and jumping around all over the place trying to fix things up and do this and do that, God, I need rest. I can't do this on my own. I need your help. And God just goes, it's cool. You know? I'll tell you what, the amount of peace that passes understanding that we need is in God. It's just incredible. So bother God with your minimal issues. And sometimes we see things that are just seemingly impossible. And they're situations, but there's nothing too hard for God. So sometimes people only come to God when they're in turmoil. Oh, I've got to pray about it. Yeah, you should have been doing that all along. You know, finally they wake up and it's time to pray. No, start when the situation's at its infancy. Don't wait till it's a massive, great, big turmoil. Say, God, I know this is a problem. I know I've got hassles with this scenario. God, I know it's going to be difficult and it's going to be a time of trial and testing for me. And I need your help to get through this. I don't know what tomorrow holds. I don't know what's ahead, but I know from past experience in this business or in this or that or in the other, there will be issues that I can't handle. So I'm handing it over to you now and I'm asking you for your wisdom, for your grace, your guidance, your help, your strength, your peace. And I'm telling you, everything that's in Psalm 91 that he promised he would be for us if we dwell in the secret place, in the place of rest of the Almighty, he's promised us. Got to move on quickly. Hebrews 11 is a faith chapter. I've got to look at verse 1. It's absolutely amazing. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Huh, how about that, eh? the evidence of things not seen. It is not a wish list for something, or a maybe I hope so. In the Amplified Bible, they've expanded it to read like this. Now, faith is the assurance, the title deed, and the confirmation of things hoped for, and they are divinely guaranteed in the evidence of things that are not seen, the conviction of their reality. Faith comprehends as fact what cannot be experienced by the physical senses. And so once you've seen it in God's word, it can't be questioned. Because faith will immediately say, God, I can't physically comprehend that. I can't see that. It doesn't appear in the natural, but I'm accepting the reality of it by faith that it has become more real to me than the chair I'm sitting on. That's the way faith operates. We see things in the spirit realm and in God's word that become far more real to us than what is in the natural realm. We go on, and the evidence of things not seen takes us to a point where Hebrews 10 says this at the previous verses, the just shall live by faith. And if any man, mankind, woman, whatever, draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. It displeases God when we back off from walking by faith. He says, I will have no pleasure in him. We go back and try to do it in our own strength. We go back and think we can handle it ourselves. God's going, I'm here for you. What are you doing? And we are not of them who draw back, the writer says here, into perdition, but of them that believe in the saving of a soul. Then it goes on and says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. A little further on in the same chapter of Hebrews 11, for he who comes to God must believe firstly that he is. That's simple. He said, I am. So if he am, he is. You know what I mean? There's no question about the fact that he's there. He is. We come to God confidently that he is there and that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Going on through the faith chapter, it's all the way back to Genesis and right at the very inception. They reiterate and recap a lot of the faith characters of the Old Testament and the writings of Hebrews here. By faith, Abel. By faith, Enoch. By faith, Noah. By faith, Abraham. By faith, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses. They all died in faith, and not to mention a lot that were there as well. Samuel, David, Jephthah, Samson, along with all of the other patriarchs. And by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. Faith has been there that God has been motivated by right from the beginning. And so the Bible has a confident basis in faith to us to live by, attach ourselves to, walk in, put our trust in, and fully function in. And those, I can't believe Kerry and those kids did those things today. God's name is our first port of call in faith. Wow, God's nature, God's provision, God's promises, it's all written in the scriptures. And if he says he's our provider, if he says he's our protector, if he says he's our shield and our sword and everything that he says he is, don't try and fight the battle yourself. God, I just believe you for your protection. And I praise you for it. I pray for protection over my family and my grandkids constantly. I talk like this. I just say, thank you, God, that my family has a covenant with an almighty God. They have a covenant with Jehovah, the promise-keeping, never-failing God. And my children in New Zealand, God, I know they're growing and they're young, but they have a covenant with you because they're under the covering of the almighty God. They've given their lives to you, whether they understand that covenant or not. I enact it on their behalf in the name of Jesus. And I do that with Kerry's kids. And I do it with my other family members, that there is a covenant with God if they've come to Jesus Christ. Some of them don't have a clue what their covenant rights are, but I do. So I'm standing in for them in the name of Jesus. And I really do pray that way for my family. So living by faith is a part and parcel of that once I know who God is. Once the reality of who God is, and that he's always the same. His word is sure. He's true. He's trustworthy. My confidence is not in a questionable situation or even going to church and calling it a faith. No, my confidence is in God. That's what the Bible says. Our confidence is in God. We grow in the grace and what? The knowledge of Christ Jesus our Lord. Faith comes from hearing and hearing and hearing and continually hearing the Word of God. And it keeps on coming, 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 and growing and strengthening and growing and strengthening and growing and strengthening. But if you don't put the diligence in with the homework in the Word, if you're not reading the Word or listening to the ministry of the Word or taking it in and then researching it for yourself, you're not doing yourself any favors to allow your faith to grow as strong and as good as it can be. It's absolutely important. So begin by trusting God, taking Him at His word. He is who He says He is. He has made promises. They will never fail and they're for us. Just one quick point before we close. Do I always get what I pray for? You know, I consider myself a man of faith. But I tell you, sometimes I pray prayers and I don't see a result. I don't see the answer straight away. I don't see what I think the answer will be. Sometimes I'll just pray diligently. You know, Lord, this situation is beyond me. And I see nothing take place or happen. I do not get discouraged one iota because I've given it to God. So the care of it's gone. It's in His hands. Whether I think it should have been answered this way, that way, or the other way is irrelevant because He knows best. So all I've done is presented it to Him, thinking sometimes I'm giving God some good ideas. Pretty dumb, eh? pretty stupid. But we're all guilty of that, you know. And Lord, if you'll just do this, and this, and this, and zip it. God, I'm just a dummy. Can I hand you this problem and let it go? You know? But we don't. We talk and we blabber and we, you know, ball and squall sometimes and blubber and we want God to feel sorry for us or whatever it might be. It doesn't matter. But, you know, I've talked to people and I've said, you know, can we really take this to the Lord in prayer? Can I pray with you? Nah, I tried that. Nah. Forget it. Doesn't work. Nah, that didn't work for me. You know, I know some people have prayed and they get it, but not, and they just lose their capacity to receive from God. Do not ever let your faith shake you. Just stand firm. The Bible says, take on the whole armor of God. Protect your mind. Protect your breastplate, your heart, where your issues of life are. Protect your walk, your loins girt about with truth. Protect your feet where you're taking your steps in life. Take the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Be fully armed. And then it says, praying always. This is part of the armor. They don't put this bit in there when they teach you on the armor. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit is as much a part of the armor as the other things that are described. It's the last part of the armor. And having done all, cave in, crumble, you know, what? No, it doesn't say that. It says stand. It says, having done all, just stand and let God do the rest. We've got to go. Father, I thank you so much for what you've given us, and I pray that our faith will continually develop and grow strong as we're more attentive to your word. We thank you for it. We praise you for being so great, so wonderful, so faithful, so sure, so true. And I pray that your life and your love and who you are, your nature and your promises will become so real in our every heart and every life here that the assurance of faith and the confidence we can have in you will be unsurpassable, that we'll never ever have a doubt or we'll never be shaken. We'll never be shakable, Lord. We'll have confidence in you forever. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. One quick thing before we go. We've been discussing and talked about, and people have hit me a little bit lately with, how about we have a midweek where we can just get together and study and talk and whatever have you, interact and share. First one Thursday night. What time we say, Mash? 8 o'clock, was it? 7:30. So if you want to come down and just have a bit of a input session as well, come with something that God is doing in your life, because I'm telling you, if you share a scripture, if you just talk about something God, you got no idea how much that builds up others. Yes, we can get into topics, and yes, we can talk about things, and that's not the purpose of it for now. It's purely just to have an interaction in fellowship together where we build up and encourage one another. 7:30 Thursday night, if you can be here, I'll see you then. Bless you all. I was going to do more, but I'm over time. We started early to finish early, so I'm going to try my best. Bless you all.